Today on Real Life Radio.
Sexual sins outside of God's prescription steals innocence, steals peace, steals self-worth, steals personal value, till the person you look at in the mirror you hate, and it breaks God's heart.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey everybody, have you gotten dry mouth and kind of terrified when you knew you were supposed to share the Lord with somebody, but you chickened out? All of us know that feeling, and it comes from insecurity because we don't know how to say what we know, what we believe. And yet the burden is upon us to tell someone. Well, listen, you guys, my friend Barry McGuire has written the book, Ignite Your Life. And it is a book that is a must read to help you learn how to share Jesus Christ with everybody in any situation. You're gonna be surprised as to how easy it is to move someone just a little bit closer to Jesus Christ. Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire. Get a copy for yourself.
Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire is our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com and get your copy of Ignite Your Life today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Saints, Sex, and Sinners. Part 1. 1 Corinthians was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth. But now, Paul introduces a whole new section of his letter related to the issue of sexual immorality. Now, as a disclaimer, it may not be appropriate for young listeners, so please take note that if they're listening along with you, this might not be the message for them. In these next few chapters, the theme is somewhat different. It's how the church was given over to the casual acceptance of sex outside the protection of marriage. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that we have to recognize the dangers of sexual sin. Satan knows the power of a God-ordained intimate relationship, and he does everything he can to entice us into a sinful lifestyle. Now, with his message called Saints, Sex, and Sinners, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Hearts, right now, Lord, I ask for your amazing touch of your Holy Spirit to deliver and for us to retain and to receive what the Spirit has to say to the church this morning in your word. And we pray it now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, listen, take a deep breath, everybody. I need to hear it. And let it out. Why? Because where we're going starting this morning in 1 Corinthians, because 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and chapter 6, even chapter 7, deals with issues that demand that I speak to you in the context that Paul spoke to the church at Corinth about and how. You say, what do you mean how? How, meaning, before I get too far into this, if you have a young one in the sanctuary today, you should have them in the children's ministry right now. We, and you'll see in a moment, so this is a disclaimer. Don't write me later and tell me, I can't believe you said what you said in church when my young one was sitting next to me. I'm telling you right now, we have an awesome children's ministry program. Put them in it, because we are going into adult territory in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It is serious stuff. And it's going to be that way for a while. So I hear that you're anticipating this by the ruffle of your pages. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 as we look to a message and probably a series titled Saints, Sex, and Sinners. You say, what? Yes, the Bible says Paul, the apostle, as we shall see in a moment, calls the church at Corinth saints. They're believers. Those of you who have come, and go ahead and leave the title up on the screen for a little bit. Those of you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and have been born again, that is, you trust Christ now for your salvation, for your forgiveness, the Bible says you are a saint. Not according to like the Catholic type of definition where you've got to achieve sainthood, that is not biblical. The Bible says that if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a saint. That means that you are property of God, that you belong to God, that you've been washed clean and pure. And then there's the word sex. And I have a friend who's a pastor, and he says, I will not even mention the word in my church because it causes me to blush as a pastor. And I know the man very well. He's a great man of God, and he can't even say the word because he turns red. You say, I can't even believe you're saying that in church today. Well, listen, that's a tragedy, honestly, because God created it. It is benign. It is non-malignant. It is not a poison. It is not a scourge. It is not a curse. It is actually a blessing from God in the proper context. And then we have the word sinners. Sinners is an old English word to mean to miss the mark, to not hit the target. So what we're going to be looking at over the course of this next month is the fact that all these things, saint, sex, and sinners, are a dynamic. And though you may think this morning it doesn't apply to you, maybe you're thinking this morning, well, I'm so old, none of those things matter anymore. Let me tell you something. If you have a memory, well, I don't even have that anymore. Well, believe me, you're going to want to hear this stuff, because in every way, shape, or form, these things affect us in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, Paul says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, the non-believers. That is, a man has his wife, his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. Verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 5, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh or the body, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump, or yeast ruins the whole loaf? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Church, this morning we'll go as far as we can, but this is serious stuff. Note takers, Bible students, mark this down. In chapters 1 to 4, Paul was speaking to them, listen, you remember this, about their thinking, that they were Greeks, they were Corinthians, and we have a wisdom that is really cool because it's the wisdom of the world. And we're really smart and we really know everything. If you want to know something, come to the Corinthian church. We're Greeks. We know everything. And Paul rebuked them because their wisdom was of the world and not of God. Number two, we know that they were saying such things as we would say today, they were personality cults or cliques. They would say, well, I'm of Paul. One part of the church would say, I'm of Apollos. Another group of the church would say, I am with Peter. That's who we follow. It would be like us in this church today, as we covered it before, that this group would say, we're of Charles Stanley. And this group over here would say, we are of Billy Graham. And this group over here would say, we're of John MacArthur. And that's a sin, the Bible says. It's carnal. The Bible declares that if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are one in Christ, and we're not of any man or particular group. And we looked at how wrong and sinful it was to say that we are of some church. Well, you know, our First Baptists do not fellowship with the Assembly of Calvary nincompoops or whatever it might be. And there's a division. Listen, the division of the body of Christ has come about because of people, not God. And it's wrong. Now, chapters 5, 6, and 7 deal with things that relate to either sexual immorality or divorce and remarriage. and how that affects our life. And I'm telling you, on these Sunday mornings, it is going to be extremely practical. And I would think somewhat enlightening and certainly at times convicting. So mark this verse down, because you're going to need to refer to it as we go through this. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, where Paul says to the church in the opening throes of this epistle, he says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, so you could say to the church of God, which is at Chino Hills, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be what? Saints. With all who in every place, right here, right now, today, call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a tremendous statement. So having said that, look with me in verse 1. Saints, sex, and sinners demands this one thing first, that if we're going to get anything out of this and for our lives, that it's that we're recognizing the dangers of sexual sin. Mark it down. Recognizing the dangers of sexual sin. I just said in the opening that God has blessed sex. Sex is engineered, invented by God, not by Hugh Hefner. It wasn't invented by Larry Flint and Hustler magazine. It wasn't invented by internet pornography. It was invented by God. It is God's design. And you and I live at a time where everybody wants to say and define and announce what it is, how it ought to be, and cause it to be something that the human wants it to be versus what God has said it is. And I know in a church of this size that there's going to be responses to this. I understand that. Just know this. Your emotions and your personal preference does not alter truth. It doesn't change what God has said. And yet, at the very same time I say that firmly but with love, the whole point of me making this so strong is to bring you to a point of absolute freedom and joy. And we're going to be, I hope, dispelling a lot of myths about sex and saints and sinners and how does it apply to our lives. So look, verse 1. He says it is actually, the word in the Old English is actually more specific, commonly. It is commonly, publicly, well known. It's no secret that this is the report about you guys at Corinth, that there is sexual immorality. You ought to circle those two words because it's one word in Greek. That there is porneia, porn, among you. And such porneia, sexual immorality, is not even named among the unbelievers, the Gentiles. Well, what is it, Paul? And it's this, that a man has his father's wife. We know from the Greek verbiage that it's his stepmother. A young man is engaged in sexual immorality with a stepmother. And Paul is saying, this is unbelievable. You guys at Corinth, you're not only so stupid as to think that you've got the corner market on wisdom, you think you've arrived spiritually, and yet in your midst is a sin that is so well known that it's causing even non-believers to not even want to know who your God is. That the unbelievers are even pointing at the church and saying, that's wrong. That's a pretty sad day, church, when the unbelieving world says to the church, what you're doing is wrong. Shouldn't the church be pointing the finger at the world? But in this case, the church was unholy. The church was compromised. You know, it's interesting because some commentators, and I agree with them, they've said that the thing that defined the Corinthian church is that it was a compromised church. And they said that to compromise is one of the most, if not the worst word in the English language, to compromise or to be compromised. But we need to recognize the dangers of sexual sin. And our culture says there are no dangers to sexual sin. In fact, sex outside of God's description is not a sin at all. It's if it feels good, what? Do it. Look out for number one. He who dies with the most toys wins. All those kinds of humanistic declarations, it's all about self. And we're going to talk about that.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
So Paul is saying, we have an issue. I want you to mark this down, by the way. I think it's from the Lord. And why does Paul address the guy only? It says that a young man has his father's wife, a stepmother. Why isn't Paul addressing the stepmother? Anyone want to take a little stab at it? She's not a believer. The young man's a believer. He's one of them. He's in the church. He's a Christian. He's what the Bible says is backslidden. She's not in the family of God, so Paul doesn't speak to her. He's not talking to her. He's talking to the one who's in the family of Christ. So number one, recognizing the dangers of sexual sin, look at this. Sexual sins carry a greater weight than any other sin in the Bible. It's always sad to understand this, but it seems so natural, but in truth, it's supernatural. And we need to understand that. Write it down. That's important. Sexual sins carry a greater weight. And what we're talking about is this. I mentioned the word sexual immorality as porneia in Greek. Mark it down. Porneia means any form of unauthorized sexual behavior. That's porneia. It's any sexual activity outside of marriage, according to God. God says it's fornication. Fornication is when one or both are not married. God says it's wrong. And he's going to explain why. He's the inventor of it. It's kind of like getting a Mercedes Benz and then telling the Mercedes dealer how to operate the vehicle. We have our bodies and we say, well, I want to do with it whatever I please. Oh, that's fine. And you can go do that. Just know this. It will dramatically affect the rest of your life. Why? Because sexual sins carry a greater weight than any other type of sin. The word also means adultery. The word means incest. The word means unlawful lust. And the magnitude of it, the scope of it's huge. And it's so incredibly common. The church at Corinth had it as common. It was no big deal. You and I live in an age where it's no big deal. I know churches, I could mention them by name. I won't do it, so don't ask me. But you can be living with your girlfriend, or you can be sleeping with multiple guys, and you can go to that church and be rest assured and be at peace. You'll never, ever hear a message that will cause you to be convicted about your lifestyle. You can go to that church forever, and it's not going to bother you. And yet God says those who practice those things, listen, those who live in that style, it says, the word is the ethos. Those whose ethos, lifestyle, is like that shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Don't you think that's serious? Do you think that's important? Does anybody love the person who is engaged in such activity? If somebody loves them, they're going to throw them a life raft. But no, we live in a culture where you don't say things. The church at Corinth said, don't say anything about that. In fact, if you can't deal with the problem, if you refuse to deal with the problem, then feature the problem. You know what the church at Corinth did? They got puffed up about it. They actually shouted, we're a gracious church. We're graceful. We're filled with love. We're so loving that we let people just sit in our congregation and go straight to hell thinking that they're okay. That's how loving we are. It's for the same reason why we don't tell someone about the love of God and the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. Because, listen, we're protecting ourselves from possible embarrassment, so we'll pat them on the back and never get to the punchline that saves their soul for our own comfort. We never tell them about Jesus. The church at Corinth would not confront anything. They were worldly wise. They were enlightened. Listen, they were a tolerant church, as though that were a virtue, when in reality it is a scourge. You can't love anyone and divorce yourself of the truth. Sexual immorality. I want you to write this down. It's vitally important. There's a spirituality to our sexuality. You need to understand that. Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, Jesus said it. He says, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife and the two shall become one flesh? Listen, so then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. There is a spirituality, notice this, Jesus said it, that marriage is between a male and a female, and marriage is them becoming one flesh. I did a wedding last night. The couple that stood here, they met each other. They began talking and sharing each other's ideas and views and all that stuff. And so, number one, they are emotionally bonding and getting to know one another, right? So they, when you get to know someone, you are emotionally connecting with them. That's normal. That's good. And then number two, because they were both Christians, the process, which is slower because you have to test it longer. That's why nobody should get married in 5 minutes. How do you know who are you marrying? You need to go through that emotional bonding period, and then you need to know about their spirituality, their spiritual part. Who are they spiritually? How do you know they're born again? How do you know that they're a Christian? How do you know they love God more than you? Listen, girls, guys, you want to marry a man or a woman who loves God more than you. Trust me. Amen. That's how it works. Thirdly, is what happened to that? I would imagine I wasn't there. After that couple says, I do, they get in the car and they drive off to their honeymoon suite. What happens? Well, Pastor, please don't. What happens? They consummate the marriage. When the two become one flesh, it's not just talking about them coming together in physical union. It's the physical union is the outward announcement of the internal bonding of these two people, that when they've come together before God, church, listen, do you think they stood here last night with the family and friends, and they were so cute and everything, and the flowers, and they placing the ring on each other's finger, and it's all so cute, and God was in that, and then they get to the room, and God is in the hallway, you know, waiting, like, okay, now that's the, I don't go there. Are you crazy? God was there, man. God was there. Don't raise your hand. Do you have a Christian marriage? And do you have a Christian home? This is my strong belief. The Bible tells us that as husbands and wives, it demands of us that each other, we're to satisfy each other always. We're not to be looking and going after anyone else. And God will bless that obedience. And the union between a male and a female, husband and wife, it should be done in such a way that even when you are, as I said a couple Wednesday nights ago, even when you're done wrestling with one another, you should be able to embrace one another and say, Lord, thank you. You are awesome. God, you are awesome. Why? Because God has created this. It is a spiritual activity.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Saints, Sex, and Sinners, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Pastor Jack, you and Barry McGuire are pretty good pals, right?
Yeah, and probably for our listeners, we need to make clear, this is not Barry, right?
Yeah.
This is not Barry McGuire, the singer.
The singer. From the 70s.
This is Barry McGuire, whose car wax and car products you guys probably have in your garage. The most sold car product, wax product in the world.
Isn't that amazing?
And he loves Jesus.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
It is.
I mean, yeah, you walk into Walmart and you go into the car wax, it's all McGuire's.
I got to tell you, he honestly, we go to a restaurant, doesn't matter where we're at or what we're doing.
Yeah.
He has this ability to just ask someone, excuse me, how are you? My name's Barry. I'm a man of prayer and I don't mean to intrude, but is there anything I can pray for you for?
What kind of reaction?
That's how he starts his.
Yeah.
He loves people.
What kind of reaction does he get from that?
Well, I've been with them and the first reaction is a person is dumbfounded.
Yeah.
And then the person will say, well, my mom's got cancer. Because everybody, you know, we've all got something going on.
Yeah.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
And so when Barry says, can I pray for your mom? What's her name?
So then they start to well up, the tears, the lip begins to shake. And then he ends that time by simply telling them about Jesus.
So he's written a book.
Yeah.
Right?
Ignite your life.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
Ignite Your Life. It's just basically that. How to move people closer to Jesus by loving them. The book is all about loving souls, loving other people into eternity. And so, yeah, please, you don't have to be a car guy to get everything out of this book that you need to share Christ, for sure.
Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire is our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com and get your copy of Ignite Your Life today. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.